Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, he didn't look good.
Yeah.
He didn't sound good. He didn't dance well.
It was bad.
It wasn't good. And I like him. I like Bon Jovi, but it was not.
I like Bon Jovi, too. Love Bon Jovi, but Bon Jovi was horrendous yesterday.
Wasn't good.
His voice wasn't good. He's like an old man trying to sing a Beatles song or something.
The dancing was the worst part.
I don't mind the dancing.
You don't mind it? Did you see him trying to dance?
Yeah, but he didn't sound like he could sing.
Yeah.
And I know I sound like crap.
Yeah, but you're not Bon Jovi.
Right.
No offense.
No offense taken, I know.
Yeah.
I'm well aware. That was bad. And they had him set up, you know, he's always got to be on the jersey, on a board, you know, stupid.
That's his thing.
I know,
Jersey,
come on.
Man.
It was actually in Miami, Florida, but it wasn't a board.
Was it?
Was it in Miami?
Yeah.
It made it look like Jersey.
Yeah, no.
I guess he wouldn't be outside on a boardwalk in this weather.
You put a jacket on like Bernie Sanders and some mittens. You're good to go.
Katy Perry. Ugh.
You didn't like her performance?
No, I didn't. Sorry. Fireworks. Oh, I get it. There's fireworks.
Okay. You see all those fireworks?
It's that subtlety that really gets
now,
you.
Now, the firework display was dope.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
It was.
But I don't need to hear Katy Perry droning on about them.
That firework display was insane.
Yeah, there was one funny thing on the internet. So Joe Biden's walking into the White House. And typically, there's, you know, Marines there or whatever.
Right.
You salute the soldiers as you walk in.
Right.
You know, some presidents have messed that up. It happens.
Sure.
And there's going to be a lot of saluting, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He must have an earpiece in with people talking to him.
Right.
You know, and I get it. You know, he is an older man. So somebody in his earpiece, the belief is that someone said, be sure to salute the Marines
right.
as you walk in. So Biden, President Biden, hears that. And actually says out loud, salute the Marines.
You know what? You know why? It's probably an earpiece, but it may not be an earpiece.
Funny.
There are times I do that where I talk to myself out loud to remind myself to do things.
Do you yell at yourself?
Not yell. Sometimes it's a gentle reminder.
Got it. Okay.
So I'll be around the house and I'll say, take that dish and bring it to the sink. Like, I'll just do things
just
like
say
that.
Say it out loud.
Say it out loud.
Maybe that's what it was.
So maybe that's his thing.
Anyway.
Did he salute the Marines?
I love
he
fireworks.
Got the job done.
The fireworks were great. No, he didn't salute them. That's the point.
Wait, hold on. He said it to himself.
He said it,
but
didn't do it.
But you left that part out.
No, I thought it was.
He said it to himself.
But he didn't do it. He said it. He walks past the Marines.
That's even funnier.
And said, salute the Marines.
Salute? I thought you were saying reminded himself, salute the Marines.
No.
Salute the Marines. And
no, he just repeated it. Salute the Marines.
So if you're the Marines, does that count as a salute?
I guess.
He acknowledged he wanted to do
it. I guess so. I think so. I don't know.
Makes the story hilarious.
I was just so upset that one of my favorite singers of all time, is sickly looking.
JBJ is one of your favorites?
Yeah, love JBJ.
Mount Rushmore?
No, not a Mount Rushmore.
Oh.
No. I have a very weird Mount Rushmore that I would rather not discuss at this time.
Huh, that's
here's Dave in Cranford, New Jersey. Dave, good afternoon.
Yo, guys. Two things. One's the show and two's the Jets. And by the way, your comments on JBJ, 100%, and that's kind of sad because I love the guy, but it was...
Yeah, like, I love him, too, so I feel bad even saying something bad about him, but last night wasn't good.
Well, it wasn't his best moment. So, okay, so first thing, like I said, on the show, I am so looking forward to, and I have no idea what I'm even talking about, but whenever these, like, ratings books come out and all that sort of stuff, because this show is going to kill it. And you know, the combination of the two of you, and I know, you know, you're going to laugh it off or you're going to say something funny, which is all great. But, you know, Craig, you know, for both of you, Craig, I when you first started and came into New York, I was like maybe one of your biggest critics, let alone, and now I'm like one of your biggest fans. And part of it is because the way that you're able to handle what you've been through and the honesty and the way you talk about it, it's one, it's personally helped me in my own life. And number two, It's you've been able to do that without losing the edge that makes Craig Carton Craig Carton, and the reason that the fan wanted you on in the first place. And then you add crazy man sitting next to you, who's Mr. Statistic, who I've always been a fan of, and you're absolutely right. He's the best because he talks to himself, but he's the best, you know, single, you know, host on the radio show. You've already covered that pretty clearly. And so, but here's the thing, the two of you together, it works, and it works big time. And I can't wait to see, you know, the result of that. So that's the end of that.
Well, there you go. It's hard to argue with any of what you've said. I'm thinking about what I disagree with. No, yep.
That's
yep.
very kind.
No,
thank
no.
you.
Pretty, no, listen, we're just having a good time. I tell people all the time, as a radio geek, you don't just start a show and on day one, you're hitting grand slams and almost, oh my God, everyone comes rushing over. No host in the history of radio has ever done that. Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, Imus. It has never happened in the history of radio where on day one, and here's why. People have to find you. People have to recognize the show exists. And when you start doing a talk show, you have to convince people who have made a habit out of listening to different shows, find you, and then make you part of their habitual listening. We all want it to happen the very first day. I do believe it's happening a lot faster than what most shows take for it to happen. But you have our promise it is going to happen, and it's already begun to happen. And, you know, we feel very good about the direction we're going in. And there's going to come a day very soon when, you know, you'll read all about it. That's all. That's how it goes.
So that was very nice.
That's how the business works. It is never day one. Never. Sometimes it's 18 months. Sometimes it's six. Look, Boomer and I weren't number one the first time we got a ratings period back. We were. Eventually we were, and then we just stayed there forever. But it didn't happen, you know, day one. That's all. This will happen a lot faster than that one did because Boomer and I had never met each other, didn't know each other. He'd never done radio before like that. I was like, just be patient. It'll happen. And there's no doubt it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it happens. By the way, did you hear what The Weasel said? Someone sent me some
Bobby
audio.
Bobby the Brain again?
No. No, The Weasel. You want to hear this?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know the context of it, nor do I care.
It's always great when you start that way.
Don't matter to me. It's Go his ahead. Words. No one's twisting his arm to say these words. But after yesterday, a bunch of people sent me The Weasel saying this.
I mean, you're showing what a fraud I really am.
There you go. His words, not mine.
There you go.
So, again, I have no idea the context. Don't really care.
Oh, by the way,
we win.
Marty Schottenheimer.
As a coach that made the playoffs and got fired.
Yeah, I got a bunch of tweets about that.
So now cheating.
No, I acknowledge. I got a bunch of tweets about it, and a few people called.
So you're going to say what next? Mike Mularkey with Tennessee?
Maybe.
Is that next on your list over there?
No. But no, Craig, in fairness, I got to give
my
you.
My point is it doesn't happen a lot.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It actually is a very good point.
Yeah.
Now, I still think, though, you can take a step back, especially with seven teams making the playoffs, and make a judgment. That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very happy as Jet fans to welcome in the newest head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh. Robert, it's Craig Carton, Evan Roberts right here in New York City on The Fan. Congratulations and welcome, and thank you for joining us for a few minutes today.
No, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, so listen, a couple things right out of the gate. We got to talk about this slogan of all gas, no brakes, because a couple of our listeners sent us video of Coach LaFleur in Green Bay running up and down the sidelines yelling, all gas, no brakes. Are we taking ownership of that? Did he give us permission? Do we need a new slogan? What are we doing with that?
No, we're good, man. He's I'm going to stay claim to that one first.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting.
He,
okay.
he stole from you.
Ah.
I'm not going to say that.
No, that's Nate. You know what? We've implied that. That's fine. I like that. I feel better.
All
now.
Right, number one. Number two, we're going to get some of this easy stuff out of the way. Have the New York Jets considered hiring a sideline guy whose only job is holding you back?
It's going to be the strength crew's got that one.
Got it. So that is not an extra hire. That's not part of the contract. None of that. They're already taken care of. Got it. Okay.
No, we're good.
Now, a couple of serious things. When you left the Jet facility, whatever it was, a week or so ago, and got in your car, and we were told that you were driving down to Philly to meet with the Eagles, I walk Jet fans through that drive and what you were processing, having had the Zoom call and then met face-to-face with Christopher Johnson and Joe Douglas and Jaime and the other members of the Jet executive team, not having an offer yet in your pocket and going to meet another prospective suitor. What went through your head on that drive?
You know, the meetings went so well. They really did. I don't know if I'll speak for them, but my appreciation for them and my desire to be here only grew stronger. But at the same time, I couldn't help but appreciate the fact, knowing that it went so well, that they still wanted to go through their process. They still wanted to finish off and make sure they're doing things the right way. They still wanted to go through and collaborate and communicate at which they planned from the beginning. There was no emotional decisions made. They didn't jump the gun. They wanted to go through their process, which spoke volumes to me with the fact that emotional decisions won't be made. Everything is a story. And so going through that process on the ride home, it was met with a great amount of appreciation because I knew at the end of the day, if they called back, they did so because they went through their process, they collaborated like they had been telling me they wanted to do for the last 2 weeks, and they communicated about it. And that only told me more about how great, and gave me more conviction about what I already knew, and that's that this organization's moving in the right direction. They really want to do things right, and it's going to get done right.
Coach, for a lot of Jet fans, myself included, and we want to change when I say this, we always expect the worst. So when you are the hot coaching candidate and you're meeting with the New York Jets, you're meeting with a lot of teams, talking to a lot of teams, I wasn't the only one that said, he's not going to pick us because we're not used to that. We're not used to getting things that we want. Why? What happened that made this job and made you say yes to us? Because that's something we're not used to being happy. And you may start to get used to that over the next few weeks and months as you meet Jet fans. But what made this the job you wanted above anyone else?
You know, I alluded to it earlier. In my heart, I believe that people are what make things work. Having humility, having the heart to do what's right for the organization, and having the humility to listen and gather information to do what's right. And so when you talk to Christopher Johnson and you talk to Jaime and you talk to Joe and you just watch them work together, the people are right. The people in this organization have the right mindset, and it's something that I want to be a part of. There's no doubt in my mind, them inviting me into this circle is more a blessing on me than it is the other way around, because those three men have done nothing but live up to everything they've been talking about since we met on Zoom. And like I said, what made me choose this is the people, and it, because it always comes down to people, and that's why organizations have success.
So that's more important than looking at a roster and breaking it down and saying, all right, I've got this, I've got that, I don't have this, I don't have that. We've got picks, we've got cap room. Did that play a role, a significant role in thinking about this team versus other teams?
You know, it's obviously there's some of that, right? But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's the people that make things work, and it's the name on the front of the jersey and what we're trying to make that thing represent. And there's no doubt with the players that are here and the people that are in place from a leadership standpoint, the name on the front of the jersey is at the forefront of their mind. And helping these young men get to where they want to be professionally is everything. And so, yeah, you could say that's part of the equation, but it's definitely a small part of the equation.
Talking to Robert Saleh, the new head coach of the New York Jets. Listen, I don't care how good any head coach is. You cannot win at the professional level in any sport without talent. Talent is everything. Talent's the great equalizer. Talent is the way to win championships. And then once you have the talent, okay, you know, coaching, I think, certainly comes into play. Who gets the most out of that talent? You have an embattled quarterback. You have a fan base that quite openly is hoping that the New York Jets acquire Deshaun Watson. You have seen what it's like you having the young hotshot in Jimmy Garoppolo, although you're defensive coordinator, and what happens when the hotshot doesn't play well or gets hurt. I know you're not going to tell us whether you want Deshaun Watson or not, but as you've handicapped the New York Jet quarterback position, walk Jet fans through where you think it needs the most improvement. Is it talent? Is it reading a defense? Is it the talent around him? Is it play calling? Where do we fail at the quarterback position?
You know, I can't speak for the past and for the things that have happened to Sam over the first 3 years, but what I can tell you is that bringing the Shanahan system, Mike LaFleur bringing that system here, is the ultimate quarterback-friendly system in terms of maximizing the talent that each player has. And so for Sam, he's still a talented young man. There's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. His arm talent, his fearlessness in the pocket, his ability to process and make quick decisions, his mobility – It pops off the tape. It popped off the tape earlier this year when we game planned against the Jets, and I think it was week two. So when you look at all those different pieces, one, bringing in schemes offensively and defensively that are so clearly able to identify a skill set for players to fit in, and so that way so they can maximize their talent. And then two, obviously matching those players to those roles. And so there's a lot of things that have to take place between now and the first practice, but we have a tremendous amount of confidence in being able to match up the talent with the scheme to maximize what there is. And then from there, it's just a matter of discussing things with Joe and his staff and making the best decisions for the organization.
So I'm going to make an assumption. During the interview process, Sam Darnold's name has to come up, right? When you have your lengthy conversations with the Jets, is that a fair comment for me to make?
That's fair, yeah.
So when his name comes up, based on what you have seen on tape and the limited amount you've seen with your own eyes in person, do you believe that Sam Darnold has the raw ability to successfully play under that Shanahan system that you're bringing here with Coach LaFleur?
You know, it's for sure, right? Like we just talked about a second ago, his arm talent, his accuracy, his ability to throw on the move, his fearlessness in the pocket, everything about him screams third overall pick. And so, you know, sometimes messaging just needs to be different. Sometimes a different viewpoint has to be different. Sometimes, you know, the way they receive things have to be different. And so Sam is an extremely talented young man, and there's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. And it just doesn't – bad things just don't happen overnight, you know. And so or you just don't change overnight. He's still 23 years old. He's got a lot of juice in the tank, and so – we're excited to get through the process and start talking about it.
You've talked to, I think you said this, you've talked to all the players already on this roster?
We shout out a note, an individual note to each one, and invited them out to the office to sit down so I can have some FaceTime.
When you talk to Sam, because I'm sure you will, Sam may ask you bluntly, so am I going to be on this team next year? What would you say to him when he asked that question?
You know what? It's Sam, as long as Sam is here, he is going to get everything we have. He is going to get all of us. And I'll never speculate whether or not he's on the team or off the team, because my job is to coach the men that are on this team and to do the best I can to help them get to where they want to go. And so speculating and trying to answer those questions would be impossible. But what I will tell you is that as long as Sam is here, he's going to get all of us. And that's the best I can give you.
One of the things that I know as a Jet fan, I wanted to do my research on all the candidates to find out, you know, if this guy's my head coach, what do I learn about him? And there was a speech you made that really jumped out at me, where you talked about how, as a coach, when you assemble a staff, you got to kind of know your weaknesses and bring in people to kind of help you and fill out a coaching staff. As you analyze yourself and get ready to be a head coach in the National Football League, what would you identify as your biggest weakness as you get ready for this opportunity?
You know, there's everyone's got little weaknesses here and there. Obviously, you could say, well, I'm a first-time head coach. And so you see guys like Greg Knapp, who that we hired as part of the experience part of it. There's Jeff Albrick, who's played in this league, and he's here to, you know, understanding our system to relieve some of the pressure from a defensive standpoint. Having Joe, who's been experienced, and surrounding yourself with different people to help you along with that. And there's still hires to be made, and there's still things to get done on with regards to coaching staff and filling those voids that I may or may not be able to accomplish for people. But I'm really excited about where the staff is and the way it's complementing one another and the way they're complementing each other with the different personalities and knowledge and different skill sets that they may or may not have. So things are moving along good, and excited to keep going.
A few more moments here with the new head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh. Robert, you know, there's a story that's been told about your connection to New York. And just put football aside for a moment. I don't want to exaggerate the story. I want to say it the way I read it and heard about it. Maybe you can just elaborate a little bit. That during the 9/11 attacks, I guess your brother was working down in the Trade Center, and a period of maybe 7, 8, 9 hours went by when, as a family, you weren't sure if he had made it. And that was a life-changing moment for you, which led you ultimately to pursue a passion, which is coaching. Can you walk New Yorkers through that experience and that life-changing epiphany that you had?
Yeah. It's a tough one to talk about, but
sure.
I'll give you my best. I walked through the house that morning. I walked into the house to see my mom and pop, and I turned the corner into the TV room. It's very vivid, the picture. It's still very strong in my mind. And my mom is crying. My dad's face is white. And I'm asked what's going on. I know my brother's in New York. I don't know where, but I just know he's there. And my mom is explaining to me. And as she's talking, the second plane hits the tower. And if I ever wanted to see what my mother looked like if she had lost one of us, that was that moment. For all intents and purposes, he was gone. Now, thankfully, after many hours, he ended up calling in and letting us know he was all right. But through tragedy and his experience, it gave me the opportunity to self-reflect, to realize that I was not doing what I wanted to do, and that life was way too short to sit in a cubicle and not pursue my passion. And that's what led me to coaching.
Wow. I mean, I had goose pimples just hearing that. Obviously, as New Yorkers, we live that and we get it. You know, it means a lot to us. We've similar experiences. And that was the day. So that day you just said, listen, I want to be a coach. That's what makes me happy. And dropped what you were doing and decided
It was a buildup.
Go ahead.
It led all the way up to the Super Bowl, Rams-Patriots. It was the Monday after. I'm sitting down in my cubicle, and I broke down. I lost it, and I left work, you know, just tears coming down my eyes because I wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I knew it. And,
wow.
And that's where it all started.
Well, let this sink in. You're going to make your NFL coaching debut the day after 20-year anniversary of, for a lot of us, the most horrific day in American history, and you're going to be in this town. So it's amazing how life works, that 20 years later, the following day, you're going to coach in the National Football League.
As the 20th head coach of the New York Jets.
Wow. As the 20th head coach of the New York Jets.
We're supposed to be here.
It'd be great if, you know, COVID aside, if your brother can be there for that moment, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully COVID resides, and excited about all the vaccinations and people getting their shots, and hopefully we can get back to normalcy.
Has he already asked you for a ticket?
Oh, he's got carte blanche, man.
There you go.
On a lighter note, we have a wonderful caller. His name is Matthias on Long Island.
Matthias
on Long Island. He wants to know, are you used to the fact by now that everyone likes to comment on how attractive you are and your beautiful bald head? Like, is that something you're now used to, Coach?
I don't know about all that one. I don't have social media or internet, so the only one who tells me that I'm good looking is my wife, but sometimes I think she's lying.
She's the only one that matters, though.
That's exactly.
Listen, have you ever met Vin Diesel?
Nope, never met him.
And final thing before we let you go, it used to be a regular question on our show. We need to know how much you're bench pressing these days. Max, one rep.
I got to get back in the weight room. So Michael LaFleur gave me some crap about the way I'm looking. So I'm going to hit it back on Monday. It's been a long couple of months, but ask me right before the season. I should be.
Well, let's say historically, what was like when you were in your fittest and in your prime, prowling the sideline, let's say for the Niners, and you were challenging the other guys to, you know, to bench press contest. What was your max one rep?
I never competed with anyone, but I got 27.
At 2.25, right?
Yep.
See, I told you.
That's damn impressive.
27 reps at 2.25 for our head coach, which is why when you got the job, the first thing I said was, my head coach can kick your head coach's butt. What's the plan, again, with respect to COVID? I know you have a family and you have kids, and you know, your wife's home right now and the kids are all excited. Is there a plan yet for when you'll be moving east and setting up shop over there in Florham Park and getting going? Or is everything still going to be remote because of COVID?
So you're going to learn this about me very quickly, that I am very, very strong with my family. And so they're actually here now. My wife is picking a house, and my hope is that they're here by the end of February.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Great. Yeah. Good for you. Well, listen, congratulations on the job. We obviously, you know, we kind of view these things like whoever gets the job, we root for them. We want them to be successful. We happen to be fans. And I think if the first couple moments for you as the New York Jets head coach or any indication of how things are going to go, I do believe we're in good hands, and you know, we wish you the best luck and hope that you're here for a long time.
No, thank you, guys. I really appreciate this, and I can't wait to speak to you guys more and see you all in person.
Listen, that's going to happen.
Yes.
You may not feel that way in a couple months, but it's going to happen.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Listen, I only live 20 minutes from the facility, so I may just stop by, check in, see what's going on, make sure you're there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Come on by.
You'll be there by 5 in the morning. What are you talking about?
Hi, Robert. Good luck. I channel someone near and dear to my heart when I say this. It's been 52 years. Let you be the one to bring it home. Because for this fan base, it will be the biggest thing in the world. It's been a long time, so get it done.
God willing.
Indeed.
There you go.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Robert. Right, be well. There you go, Robert Saleh, the new head coach of the New York Jets.
That story about 9/11, I mean, that's it's powerful as all hell. It's scary because I think all of us listening, if you remember it, we all remember that day. It brings you back to that day and how we all had that fear in a way. But it changed the man's life.
20th head coach, 20 years since it happened, and that's the moment that led him into coaching. And pretty good.
It led him to, I want to do what I love to do. And look, he's at the ultimate. He's a head coach of the National Football League. It really is a remarkable story, and that he gets to be that in this town. It's crazy, man.
Get your take on what you just heard. 877-337-6666.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.